You come in and you got, the Bible said, few there be that find that you have a little flock, and straight is the gate, narrow is the way. You've got a little flock, and you want to reach them because their hearts are hungry and they're trying to do something for the Lord in their way. And then you got a bunch of hypocrites, and you got, you know, it's such a terrible, terrible thing. You got to preach against sin, and you got to preach against the hypocrisy, or the whole thing will be infiltrated. The Bible said if you spare one of them, then they'll ruin the whole thing. They'll be pricks in your side. And then when you preach against hypocrisy, then that kind of tarnishes things a little bit, because them that do love the Lord, sometimes they get under condemnation because there's none good but the Lord. And with all their stumblings and staggerings, they begin to come back before them. And then that kind of kills the ego as to having a faith and a confidence to reach out and to be stimulated towards something sweet and pleasant, to give the precious Holy Spirit a chance through the act of His righteousness and the sanctifying by faith to do anything, because it kind of curbs the faith a little bit. And chastisement is grievous for the moment, but the Bible says afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. You know, it really makes a problem, the preacher's problem. But let's read a little bit from the book of St. Mark, and we'll talk. And the word always encourages faith. And whereas, as it was said in the days of the prophets, death was in the pot, and they sweetened the pot, so we'll sweeten the pot a little bit. Taste and see if the Lord is good. This that we're fixing to read tonight, that the Lord just give me. When I went down the street of Dolorosa, where Jesus dragged the cross on an early morning, where the Lord had dealt with me the night before, I was anointed of the Lord, and I began to cry aloud in a prophetical and a ministering utterance. And this is the thing that came out. And it was strange, because at this very time, books was being spread across Israel, because Betty and I, we've traveled over the land of Palestine a long ways. And books was being spread, and the title of the book was The Time is Fulfilled. And that was what came on me. And it was strange, because I had not been reading any of the books while I was over there. But the move of God being as it should be, that the word and the spirit agrees as to the move of the Lord. It says in the 14th verse of the first chapter, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now I like that right there, because Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what I'm preaching tonight is the gospel of the kingdom of God. So this is what he was preaching. And it's so beautiful just to flow along in the spirit and see why he was preaching that. But it says, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus wasn't preaching something that had happened and had bypassed the people. Nor was he preaching something that was going to come on the horizon one day. But he was preaching the time is fulfilled. It is fulfilled. It is fulfilled. First of all, what is meant here when the Lord said the time is fulfilled? It means that the time is fulfilled as to all of the prophecy, the utterance, and all of those scriptures that Jesus said spoke of his coming. That the Bible said, and when he, as to whom the promise was made, that is God giving a promise to Abraham, that in Isaac, being a type of Jesus, that in Isaac as to the Christ, so should the seed be called. And as them that come out of Egypt, not everyone that came out, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. And when the time for God's Isaac come on the scene, The one as to whom the promise was made, then here it is. At last he's come. The time is fulfilled. So then as the time was fulfilled, then that meant that Christ had now come. The one that would now live the perfect life. The one that would free us from sin. The prophecy came as to Daniel and saying, and Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. And he shall do away with iniquity, in that an iniquity did my mother conceive me. I'm formed in the image of iniquity, as from the first birth to the fallen one, and in Adam all die. So in Christ all is made alive. And all as under sin and death by Adam, because of Adam's sin, all under righteousness, and life as unto godliness through Jesus Christ's righteousness. So the time was fulfilled, and this was his sermon. He was saying, folks, I'm here. At last, the kingdom of God is within your reach. At last, never before has the kingdom of God been within your reach or made available to you. Never before this time, but all of a sudden now it is time. For as the Bible said, I have heard the groaning of the prisoners, those that were under the law, of course, as it was said to Daniel, thou shalt rest in thy lot. And none of these souls could get out of that place until Jesus was to go into the heart of the earth. And the Bible said, these that died under the law, these, as of a shadow of that which was to come, they all testified that they were pilgrims and strangers looking for another city, another world. And these all died in the faith, not having been made perfect. For they could not be made perfect without us, because perfection had not come. But in our day, when Calvary came, as to the saints of God, then perfection came. And now God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all, as to the Lord Jesus' body being offered up at the time being fulfilled, and having looked down from heaven and in a time accepted, succored them, and freed those that were in bondage to death. So it said, and the time is now here, and the kingdom has at last come. Now, I have put it within your reach. From now on, we preach, as Paul said, we do not say who shall ascend into heaven to bring it down to us, nor who shall descend into the deep to bring it up to us. But it is nigh you, even nigh you to the extent that if thou shalt confess or believe with your heart and confess with your lips, that is, if you can overcome, as the Bible said, they did overcome by the blood of the Lamb as to their confession or testimony. So, confessing his righteousness to your life, you have a right to it if you have his spirit. If you do not have his spirit, you do not have a right to that life that was lived by that spirit that lived it, which spirit fulfilled the law and God's desire to perfection to bring you into wonderful life and the wonderful things of God. So then, as we sing that song, we'll overcome, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And our testimony of our day makes it effective in this hour as to whosoever can from their heart testify to the extent as to believe with the heart. Not an intellectual concept of religion and a confession with the lips as to serving him when your heart is far from him. Because with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So your heart cannot be far from him. You have to do the things that please God. Hereby you assure your heart. Then do you have the confidence that he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, that means that you're one of the children. And if he hears you, then you have all things. Because you are a believer and all things are possible to them that believe. And he said, I prayed for these, Father, not for the world, but for these. And so then as to the heart being confident toward God, then God having already given you all things in Christ before the world ever was, making them available to you at Christ, at Calvary through Christ, then from there preach to you as to your benefits down to even to this day of your birth as to when you come into it and you have an opportunity. So he said, now, folks, the kingdom of God is at last here. The Christ is the kingdom of God. And I, as to the embodiment of that kingdom, I have brought it into your presence. Now, I stand here as a man before you. But as Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And having perfected the church forever, he's coming back after a perfect church. Without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, saying that it's to you that have his spirit, that you are sealed as to your spiritual being on the inside under the day of redemption, and shall never come into condemnation, and nobody can lay anything against you as to a charge. You're God's elect before knowledge, and it was all wrought in the mind of God before the world ever was, and your names were written down in the Lamb book of life from the foundation of the world, and made an expose at Calvary, as from that time as to your generation when you're born into this wonderful age of where the blood is on the seat of atonement, to acknowledge that you are the elect of God. And as Paul preached, as it was said, in as many as were before of old, as to foreknowledge ordained unto righteousness, believe as to the elect, and them that were foreordained unto condemnation, believe not. Being ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or that is, taking advantage of the age of grace as they're doing right now, and that is sporting lavishly or lasciviously their diamonds and their pearls, as the songwriter said, putting this Savior to shame. So then we find that the time was then fulfilled, the seed at last had come, and so then when Paul began to preach as to the fullness of time, and in the fullness of time, or when the time was fulfilled, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to take all things into the ark as of Noah, as to that which was 1, 2, 3, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, or that above that's in the earth and that beneath, as to those things which that was a symbol of, as the wrath came down upon the ark, which was his body. And as to the symbolics, and as that ark rose to the highest place to set it at the right hand of the Father, which of course symbolically Mount Ararat. Now, so then the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. It was fulfilled at Calvary. It is still fulfilled. The kingdom of God is not somewhere off from you. It is right here at hand. And so he preached, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, or repent ye and receive the kingdom of God. For he told them, when the Jews looked for the kingdom of God and said, will ye at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Natural minded, natural thoughts, natural leader David, a natural place, bring in the millennium, set up the kingdom. And the Christ confounded them by speaking out of the body, saying, my kingdom is not of this world. Or he could have said, I'm a spirit and my kingdom is spiritual, for God is a spirit. But there it was, Christ, the kingdom of God. All that God is, all that God ever has been, all that God ever will be, was Christ and in Christ. And all things that you ever get is in Christ. And if you ever get to God, you go through Christ. So he was telling them, he said, the kingdom is now here. Now, the first thing you need to do is repent. Peter said, every one of you, and be baptized into his death, that you might be with him in the resurrection. For as we're buried with him in baptism unto death, having put on Christ, that is to say, we no longer have the body of Adam. It's dead, it's smitten, it's gone by Calvary, it's buried, and now we are coming up without that identity. And we are coming up identified with him in the resurrection. And now it is not us that liveth, but he that liveth. And we're now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And God never looks beyond Calvary to see anything other than Christ. For on this side of Calvary, it is Christ, and it is the church, and it is heaven. Everything from Calvary is heaven on this side of Calvary. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if that be so, then everybody is in heaven. Yes and no. There is first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. And it is true that everybody is in heaven on this side of Calvary, to the extent the blood is still on the seat of atonement and giving blessings until the light goes out, of which we would have to say many things. Until the light goes out, and then they find themselves beast as only reflectors in darkness. That is a grace as to a dispensational grace, but it is a true fact that we that did not just go down at this but went up at Calvary as the road divided, as Paul said, as being our overseers to the Gentile caught up into the third heaven, and as Peter who was crucified according to history upside down, and Satan being cast out when the Lord has said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And following that pattern with the Jews to show that the gospel being committed unto Peter for the Jews had been committed unto Paul for the Gentiles. And so their paths went two different ways that it might bring about as to a rent veil, even as a surgeon that brings a cut into the body to bring opening or reveal to reach in there and get the infiltration out as to the cancer, the disease, and whatever, cut it away and get the stench out of you before you rot and put something in there for sanitation or something that will, beyond that, heal and do away with the diseases and kill the diseases and sew you back up. And then you're a 1, 2, 3 as a one. And you're no longer a 1, 2, 3 with some kind of infiltration in there as the fourth. In the numerical world, 4 brings in a Lucifer and judgment. So then after that, you're whole. But Calvary brings the severing. It brings the dividing asunder. And the dividing of the twain and so many things that we just kind of say here in 2 or 3 words that you wouldn't understand it all unless you're spiritual, because it would take all night long and all night tomorrow night and then some just to go through the few things that happened at Calvary as to some of those things to make you to understand why the veil was rent in twain. Some of you should have by now grasped some of that in the teaching as many times as we've related back to that. And yet I know many of you have not even touched it, because in talking with you, I do not find you spiritual at all. Like I was telling my wife today, see, as someone got a revelation over here, and they said, well, bless God, Brother Pike, I know I got a revelation, and that's fine. I don't dispute that. I don't doubt that. And somebody says, well, I got a revelation. That's great. All that's good, and you should. By all means, you should. Now, but going to the store and buying you a little package of a meat, that as to what you can afford that came from a whole cow does not mean that you bought the cow nor owned the cow. See, but there is one thing that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the other is as for you to get your little package and eat and stay alive, that there might be meat in my house and at the same time some milk. Jesus said, take my body, eat, take my blood and drink, for it's meat. And it is drink indeed. And if you don't eat my body, as to the body being made flesh, as to the word, and the word being the food for you and I, as the sacrifice of the lamb, and that the priest ate it in the second place that they entered into called the holy place. And his blood drank indeed, of having royal blood flowing through our veins, as to the washing of regeneration by the water of the word, as to quench our thirst, and many, many, many things to be said. But anyway, getting back to the theme of our thoughts. So the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye first and believe the gospel. And of course, this has been going on for now for many long years. Since Calvary, there has been a preaching of repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, because there is none other name given under heaven that has remission in the name. So, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, which is the fulfillment of the law, in that the Bible said God saves us by judgment, and it's through the law, as through the righteousness of the law, is by which we are saved. So then, we know then that I am preaching tonight, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we could just get on into the revelation, into deep, deep water, like the prophet that waded out and it was up to the ankle and then up to the knees and come on up to the waist and on and on and on. See, so we could do that. But the thing is, we are just bringing a little thought tonight, not what I thought to bring to you, but I understood that I was supposed to relate a few little happenings. And many things has been neglected as to what I was supposed to relate to you. I couldn't, because you had no hunger. So if your houses are left to you desolate, it's because you did not open the door of your heart. I stand at the heart's door and I knock, and whosoever openeth unto me, I will come into him, and it will be the Lord's supper. We say sup. We will sup at that time of the day. I will sup with him. When we think of this great feast of charity, there's many that's coming with eyes full of adultery, beguiling, unstable souls, all of these things, false brothers and false sisters in your midst, and spots and blemishes. But in the midst of all of this, we still are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And nothing can overthrow us. Nothing can take our salvation. Nothing can even as much as touch us. Because we have the ability, as Christ within us, who has overcome the world, and greater than he that is in the world, even Satan, the god of this world. And we have overcome because our spirit is hid. It is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And this seal standeth sure, that God knoweth those that are his. So we are sealed, and the Bible said, grieve not that precious Holy Spirit on the inside, which is the Spirit of Christ and the proof of your salvation. If the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he will also by his Spirit quicken your mortal body, as to him being the resurrection and the life. So then we know that the kingdom of God is at hand. What am I preaching? I'm preaching the kingdom of God is here. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of God. I am preaching. Someone said, well, I don't see anything. I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You are a beast. That has nothing to do with it. You are in the body. You're in the flesh. You can't please God. You don't have anything from God. But them that have Christ's spirit, when Christ begins to speak, there's something on the inside of them that sparks up just like you struck a match to fire after you poured the gasoline or kerosene on. See, and it sparks up something, and on the inside, their hearts burn like fire as the Holy Ghost opens the scriptures to them as the things come forth. And see, and it's just a few. It's a little flock. It is some that has walked the straight, tight, narrow way. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. It is a little flock. But he said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. So then as to the mass in the church, whether it's Bethlehem or wherever, as to the mass that's in the religious world, no matter what it might be, the few is the only one that's going to find it. As to the millions of charismatics around the world, there are a few that's in the midst of them that will find it. A few in the Baptist church, a few in the Methodist church, a few in the Catholic church. Someone would say, well, not in the Catholic church. Well, Martin Luther came out from it, and that's why you're a Protestant today, as to one that protested. Now, so then the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. It is at hand. Now, it would not make any difference to me whether you hunger or not. What difference does that make? If I have the heavenly treasure within me, it makes no difference where I ever tell you or not, or whether you ever get it. And as to people to preach to, there's billions of people in the world to go into all the world. So I could care less as to Bethlehem and the people of Bethlehem if I wanted to look at it on a natural basis. It wouldn't be nothing but a problem to me. You know, even try to stir you up or to try to get you hungry or to even get you to church. See, that wouldn't be worth the time of day to me. But because there are two or three or four or five, whatever it might be, there are the elect that is sent to Bethlehem, then I must preach to them. Should I then preach to you? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Why preach to you if you're not going to be saved? And as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed, and they had eternal life because they had it by foreknowledge. And those that were not, they being ungodly men, turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, or took advantage to their sporty ways of life, doing the grace period as of that day like they're doing of this day. And when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, that's the end of them. But they're frolicking and they're religious and they're doing all kinds of things and they're getting medical healings and all kinds of things they're getting it. While the wonderful children of God go through sorrow and heartaches and depression and oppression. And if in this life here only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable, because we are the whole problem of the earth as to the world, and they want to devastate us and walk on us, and they want to do everything they can against us as to call us as it was Jim Jones and all these other kind of things. See, to kill the influence and magnify their churches as to their intellectual doctrines and whatever they might have out there to priests and all these kind of things, which in the sight of God is a heap of junk. So we go right along as the few, but we have to preach to every creature, because the end of the world cannot come, as I told my wife over in the evening, until we preach the gospel to every creature. So Paul said, God having chosen me from my mother's womb, ordained me unto this, that he should reveal his son in my life. I am now ready to preach the gospel to every creature, to the Greek, to the barbarian, whatever it might be, the Jew. He said, as to the Jew first, because salvation is of the Jew. They are always first and will be the head of the nation as they're coming in. They're only in the position they're in right now because that they have rejected God and have not honored the Lord. Like the prodigal, but they will come back in and there will be a great jubilee. So then I must, of course, preach the gospel to every creature which takes in all of you so that the end of the world can come. And we're praying, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Then, why would I pray like that? When the other night I said, and Jesus said, you pray. While I'm with you, I'm going to teach you how to pray. They said, teach us how to pray. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so then Jesus has to say, well, I'm here. The kingdom of God is now at hand. But now, I'm going to die in just a few days. And the kingdom of God is going to come. That is to say, it's going to come into your heart. Now, I want the will of this kingdom done within your spirit, and I want it done in your flesh as the dust of the earth, as in earth, as in heaven, as in your body, as in your spirit, in the physical dimension or physically speaking. We say of human physics. And then I want it done as to the end of this matter, as to the kingdoms of the world becoming the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. And that's where we're at right now. See, men like Bush and others, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, some reflectors as to the charismatic move or whatever it is to reflect that's in heaven, that all of the invisible things of God being clearly understood by the things which do appear. So then we see that there is something that is happening. And what is this something? It's like walking through Home Depot. That's a good name because it's really swallowing up the people. But we say Home Depot, you walk through there and you look and there are thousands upon thousands of items. Golden faucets, all kind of carved work and everything as to a perfection. So you look and hundreds of people are passing through and they're building them homes and little nests. They get together as a bride, you know, as a husband. Their little family, and they're going to build their dream house, and sure enough, everything they need there is ready to go. You know, and so then, as it was in the days of Solomon, all the pieces have been cut out for the temple, spiritually speaking. And that shows it. So that when it goes to be fit together, it's like a prefab. There won't be any beating and banging on it because God is the precious Holy Spirit. And the war as to the days of David will be over as to run through a troop and leap over a wall. But Solomon as to the man of peace and control throughout the world with the wisdom of the revelational mind of Christ as in our day. See, or as in the gospel era. That these things will be put together and fit together. If we have some stones that's been carved out and are just right, we bring them over to that spiritual world as to the temple of God. And then somebody else out here, we find we got a brother and sister over yonder and a brother and sister in Germany, Japan, wherever, and all of a sudden they link up with us and they bring their pieces and we all fit together like a puzzle into one beautiful temple of God, in that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the great temple of Almighty God. And it was said in the days of Solomon that if anybody looks in this direction, as to this temple, calling on the name of the Lord, then they will be healed. Healing in His name, healing in His temple. The Spirit of God within the body, and virtue went out of His body, and all was healed as the virtue went out of His body. See, because we are full of that life, Christ, the wonderful Prince of Life on the inside. So here we are in our day. So we talk about our day as to a present day. Because the Bible said it's a good thing that the heart should be established in the present day truth. Because you're going to give an account not for what a generation done as to yesterday or what one will do as tomorrow, but as to the generation of your hour and of your day. See, and this is what you're going to answer for as to the measure of light that was revealed in your age. You will answer for the measure of light that's revealed in your age. And as to the people of this age that is perverting the law, they will answer to the Jewish nation when they set to judge the nations and separate the sheep nation from the goat nations and there to charge the people with all the evils that they've done to them while they were coming from their land going to Canaan. By the way of Esau, and how that they were evilly entreated as they went, and they'll judge the nations for it because the people mistreated them when they were strangers on their way to their land, as from the Alpha to the Omega. See, and here we are. We are they that shall judge the world. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And we are pilgrims, and we're on a journey to another country, as to the symbolics that the Jews are showing. As we said, the Jews, they are the clock in the night. We are the clock in the day. And Jesus and the 12 apostles and Israel and the 12 apostles, that is Jacob, the 12 leaders of his day, that is. So it shows something as to the intellectual darkness, as to night. We are as to the clock of the day, for his mind is the daylight. And we're counting time according to that. And it's already as to science, down to the zero hour. So everything is just right. Now, so we know that the temple is coming together. It's coming together through the wisdom of the word. What is it? It is the revelation, the revealing of the Son of God. It is the appearing of the Son of God as to suddenly appear within his temple, within your heart, to dispel the darkness and to do away with the darkness of your intellectual confines, of that old beastly nature as to your human senses that makes you relative to the beggarly elements of the world and holds you under bondage as to those things that emanated from God, not as to those things that emanated from God, but the reflection of those things, which is the world of vanity. So then you are a bonds child because you live in your mind and you have the world within your heart, and we have the kingdom of God within our heart because he has driven the world out of us. And that great light springing forth from within us as to the day star dawning within our heart, moving away the infiltration, washing this garment of this body to where it's pure and white as it was in the beginning, that the image in which we were made as the Shekinah light, which is most precious of that stone, which was lost, that Adam left when he stepped down from the garden to show the feminine perspective of it as to which Eve was a type. And then that feminine perspective, as we say, the woman's world, coming all the way down to Calvary and God smiting Satan as to the travail of the woman, the curse as to the smiting of Satan, that the child, which was the Christ, inner Christ within that body of Jesus, came forth as to the head breaking forth from the matrix, that it is at the right hand of the Father, and down through the church ages, the church age messengers as the physicians of God, working with the body to bring it forth as in the end, and as Paul said, it's Christ in the end, standing in the midst of the candlestick, for it's not me, but it's him as to the revealed. Now, so then we know that this is the hour of crisis. This is the hour. Now let's just look at it as to a present day truth. I said, I have to say a few little things to lay a foundation. Of course, by the time I say that, you're so much like a babe that you're just already the bottle is slipping out of your mouth and you're going to sleep and you never really get to the spiritual thing. They that be drunken off the cares of life in the night. And those that are like babes, they go to sleep when the darkness comes. But men work on through the night. Men travail on through the night. Men fight on through the night. So the Bible says, God speaking to Joshua said, show thyself a man, Joshua. Take these people over the Jordan and divide this inheritance with them and show thyself a man. Don't be a baby, but quit like a man. Stay there. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Don't throw up your hands and be double-minded every little bit and be a baby. Be a man. Stay with it. I'm your strength. If you're weak, let the weak say I'm strong because I've already wrought this in Christ. It ain't what you're going to do anyway. It ain't what you have done. It ain't what you're going to do. I've already done all of that. I'm asking you to do just one little thing. And sure to the great God of heaven, we ought to have enough fidelity in God, enough confidence in God to stand like a man. And when we've done all that we can to stand, keep on standing. And be strong in the power of my might because you ain't done nothing to start with. So you can stand just as good when you think you can't stand as you could when you thought you could stand. Because when you thought you were standing, you really wasn't standing at all. It was by his works that it kept you that far because it was his finished works that keeps you through the whole thing. And all you got to do is believe. That's all I'm asking of you. Let's say Jimmy Carter, and I'll have to compact about 2 or 3 weeks of what should have come out proportionally. But just 2 or 3 little things here. There's Jimmy Carter, because I was asked about this today, and my heart was hungry for what he should have gotten days ago. And so then there's Jimmy Carter. which spoke of the woman going into travail. If the hour was here to go in travail, she is going into travail. Her racial rights right now. And she's got problems right now. Now, I'm going to tell you to start with up front. Those are not racial rights. Those are brute beasts that's been seeking their opportunity. Whether they're black or whether they're white, yellow or red or whatever, it has nothing to do with races. It is the devil and his children. And they're looking for opportunity and they are seeking something like this king case. King of the bottomless pit of darkness. It is the king's case. See, and the hour is at hand for the tribulation period. Everything is moving around for the tribulation period. And so then out in California, 1,400 fires or whatever it is, 35 dead, I don't know how many, but now this is what I heard. And I know the papers does show the blaze. So now it struck Atlanta. Now it struck over here in Athens. Now listen to me, folks. Somebody has been mistreated. A black man was mistreated. He was beat by police according to a film that they caught. And obviously for no reason as to a major cause. Just a misdemeanor. And in this, when they were brought before the judge, he just freed them according to the report I got. Now, that was wrong. That was cruel. They should have been punished. But it has happened the same way when a black man was turned loose, when he should have went to the electric chair according to justice. Many times it's happened. It's like I said about the slavery thing. Here in America, we get this racial thing of the black. And the blacks that are in this thing say they imprisoned my people. I know this because I run into it in Chicago. And the black dentist just told me off. Took my people and done all these things to my people. But see, that showed his ignorance. Though he was a polished scholar, he was ignorant of the fact that it wasn't the people that had done that. It was the Africans that did that. They were the first to bring people into bondage over in Egypt. They took the children of Israel and brought them into bondage 430 years and evilly entreated them. And all they did was reap what they had sowed. Just like Japan reaped out of that bomb when they attacked Pearl Harbor. See, and all they did was reap. Now we've got a civilization that's come out of darkness because it's of Egypt, and that's still African. See, and over here we've got a civilization now that is about to terminate, and so this awful, hideous thing has happened. Now they say the blacks is rising up, and indeed some of the blacks are rising up because they don't understand. They think they've been mistreated, and these bunch of devils put it in their mind, and a bunch of devils put it into the minds of the white, and all kinds. It's always been a racial right or a national thing or an international thing, or the Spanish and the Texans, all the North and the South, and always been that. And we brought out enough revelation that most of you should understand that. Now, but in Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, black man nor white man. There is no such thing. We are children of light. They fuss and they say, well, God is a woman. God is a black man. God is a Gentile. God is a Jew. Whatever. He is not a Jew. He was not born to the Jews. He is not a Jew. He was not born to the Gentiles. He was not born to the black man. He had royal blood that come from the great eternal spirit. He did not have the blood of any race. If he had the blood of any man, he could not have brought new life, for the life is in the blood and in the atonement. It's true that Mary was his mother, but not as a Jew. It was as a woman. It would have had to have been some woman. If he hadn't come through the Jews, he'd have had to come through somebody. So that has nothing to do with it. And Paul said, I prove that all nations are under sin, and both Jew and Gentile, that God is no respecter of person. He doesn't have any special people. And the people that are of Israel are not God's people. That is, as of to the natural title of Israel. But in Isaac shall the seed be called. Paul said, that is to say that these people that say they're Jews, there is no such thing as a Jew, as a nation or nationality. But there is such thing as an Israelite. And these that are in Isaac do have the commitment of these things. What profit is it to be a Jew? Much in every way. For unto them is committed the principles of the oracles of Christ, as to bring this law back to the perfect status of what it was before it went down through the nation and to the Gentiles and got perverted into this condition that the devils had got it in today, and it will answer back to the Jews as the head of the nation when they charge these people with all of these things as to treason. And they'll have to correct the law. And every nation that's perverted that law from what was given to Moses will answer to God for it. Now, so then we see that this riot that we're having, it is a bunch of devils. Somebody said, that's my people. Well, that's your bunch of devils. Whether it's white, red, or whatever, and you're one of them. Because two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And so then them bunch of devils that are brute beasts made to be taken and burned, they're rioting and they're doing all these kind of things. The riotous living. See, and they're burning. Now, if the judge done wrong, and if they had a vengeance, why didn't they get the judge and hang him on a tree? That's the way they used to do it. Why did they take a woman out and beat her in the head and beat her with rocks? What's that got to do with it? Burning 1,400 buildings down or setting 1,400 fires and killing people. What's that got to do with it? It's a bunch of devils. That's what it is. Now, someone would say, well, I believe the black is responsible. I say the devils are responsible. Now, somebody would say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about the blacks that get mixed up in that, loses the favoritism of God, and God cannot bless them from that hour on. The judgment of God is upon them, for they that do wicked will answer to God, whether they're black, white, whether they're Japanese, or whatever they are. The Bible said God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart. They will have the wrath of God on them and make themselves extinct as to show the eradication of the darkness. But the darkness will have preeminence for a while over this that shows light as to the white nation. They will devastate until they get control. And in this, when they do, and that's what their drive is for, the devils, the underworld, and when they get control, then Antichrist is going to come in because it denotes that hour of darkness, and just about the time they get control, then the Jews is going to come in and swallow them up like the light with the darkness and devastate them till there won't be no remembrance. See, God is doing it. He's suffering it. I create the good and I create the evil and I have my way in both. Can evil come to a city and I've not sent it to Los Angeles, we say? As to where we said it shows war in heaven and Hollywood and the overthrowing and the falling of the stars and all these earthquakes and these kind of things, as to the casting out of Lucifer, but that's his stronghold out there. As I said, the Pope would be interested in movies a long time ago, and all of a sudden he revealed it, said his one theme of life and desire was to get into the movies. Now, so then the casting out of Lucifer, and as to Turkey having power to shut up as to Euphrates, and all of a sudden this thing coming to pass to where, as we said, it would happen, and then the people of the East going across, who is more wicked than the Chinese people as a whole? And I'm not speaking of the people that are not beast or the people that love the Lord, but I'm speaking of them who are more brutal, that will run over their people, their own people, their college kids, run over them with tanks and mash their entrails out and mow them down with their machine guns, and then send a letter to mother and daddy and said, you will pay for the bullet that killed your son. Who is more wicked and wretched than that? And they will go in on Israel, and it's going to be bad. Everything is just right. What is it? It's the beginning of sorrows. It's that hour of temptation. That's a bunch of devils. That's the underworld out there. And men like Bush that God has raised up, though he is not what we need him to be as a Christian, yet he is as to his measure for this hour, as to what we said he would do. And Reagan and some of the other great men like Abraham Lincoln and like George Washington, and there were other great men. All right, so then we know that this present day hour, something is happening. Look at Mr. Carter. All of a sudden, the plains of Dur that we spoke of, the number 666. And then Jimmy, as to drawing the beard on him and putting JC. And then being over in Babylon during the time of the frolic. And then coming over in Israel, and they anointed him a king over there, put a crown on him. And then coming back, and we spoke of the fall of Russia and the breaking down of the Iron Curtain. And then the thrusting out, and then the red dragon as to an asylum down in China, as to the dragon nation, as to what it represents, as to the cruelty. And nothing finer than a Japanese or a Chinese Christian. Nothing finer than an African or Gentile, as we say, a Christian, a Caucasian. See, and nothing more wretched than people who don't have God, and especially a hypocrite. So then the devil is now rising up to reward this bunch of religious hypocrites that's charismaticked around the world and frolicked and lived it up and done all these things to stand at the door and beguile souls and to stand between God, as the Pharisees did, and stand between God and that subject of his. That's why God was so angry with the Jews that he said, "You've killed the wise men, every one that I've sent to you, and now the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost. It's now coming upon these people because I made the statement that the blood is gradually coming off," as we would say, of the mercy seat as to the potential time limit or the dates. See, and it's coming off now, and everything is getting ready for this great devastation. They even made the statement that it was as to the city of the angels. And we say as to the ball game, the Los Angeles. But even as we're saying as to that second heaven falling, because the blood is on the seat of atonement and it has to fall, and Hollywood represents it. Now, in this that is falling, in this that is coming down, then we look and we see this thing happening in America. And we see the Jimmy Carter, we see the Dur, Plains of Dur, we see the 666. We see the pyramid going up as that we set over in Egypt as to Tennessee. Right there, it's going up in Memphis. See, and now the pyramid going up out in Nevada. And then we see all of a sudden things just turn into havoc in Russia overnight. When it was supposed to be that great, mighty giant that was going to walk over all of us. And I come back and told my people, I said, "Y'all just don't understand." I said, "Russia ain't that kind of thing." I said, "There are primitive people over there." I said, "And can't hardly get bread." And I said, "They're over there in that country and that Iron Curtain is closed because they are afraid. Because Germany literally devastated them and backed them up into a corner over there in a place where Betty and I went. And the people starved to death and we heard the story on it and they ate bark and everything else. And when they got them out, they locked that thing over there and they become a terror to the world because it was some unknown thing. And all of a sudden you saw they just fell apart when Gorbachev come in. He was going to do a little bluffing and he was going to appear as a great, wonderful leader and all these kind of things. And we spoke of it and all of a sudden there it was. Now Jimmy has invited Mr. Gorbachev over to the college, the old tree of knowledge where the trouble starts. How in the world did Russia get from way over there over here? And the paper stated, I was going to read that to you a few days ago, the paper stated that everything that Mr. Gorbachev was turning everything red. And it had everybody all tore up, even some people in California that were supposed to come over to Georgia for this graduation was all tore up and upset because not enough seats and whatever. What is he doing over here? See, teaching over here. He was cast out. He went out. They didn't want him. How did he wind up over here? And especially with Jimmy Carter, which has to do, as we say, with the bastard child as to the charge it was against Jesus being made sin. Why is it, as they say, him being a Kennedy child and that illegally as to the maid and as to Mr. Kennedy? Why? And as to the curse being on that family. Whether authentic or the authenticity of it, I don't know. But I do know one thing. All of a sudden, here he comes. Now, there it is. See, and now the devastation, and now the fires, and now the problems. And the devils have been seeking their chance, waiting for this moment of darkness, waiting for this hour. What is it? See, I can't really tell you because you're not hungry. You're very interested in what I'm saying because I brought in some present day things. Not really hungry and spiritual as to the things of God. But because these concern your flesh and your state and your nation, then you're right there listening. See, but that don't draw as to bring this wonderful Christ with the hidden secrets that fills and floods my heart as to it runs over even just a few little things that we had the privilege to mention to as to some hungry hearts today concerning a few of these things because they were hungry. All right, so then we see that with many hundreds of things taking place. The blowing up in Mexico and all these other things taking place. Earthquakes was one of the great signs of the end time. And we see the sinful generation. The clock tells us that it's almost zero or doom hour. And we see the calendars that have marched around to this 92 where I said things would be setting in. 88 and then things in 92 and it started. And that it did have to do with Mr. Bush's administration. And in 93, she rolls around. And from 93, there's not but 7 years left as to turning that 2,000 years, as to the last 2,000 years, making the 6 days, as to God working in a day as to 1,000 years, and another day as 1,000 years into the six. See, and on the seventh, he rested. Bringing in the 7,000th year as to the millennium rest. And someone would say, well, how do you know? Peter said a day with God is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. And someone would say, what biblical proof do you have other than what he said? The biblical proof is he said to Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And no one ever excelled 1,000 years. Methuselah got close to it, but he did not do it. And no one has ever lived over that. Numbers of men lived 900 years, but they never did get over that. So then there must of necessity be 1,000 years that will be a day where man does not die. And Satan will be bound and there won't be any trouble to show God's day of rest. And that ends the 7,000 years as to the six working days and the day of his rest. And immediately everything as to a lost species will be restored. Everything will be weeded out. The nations will be judged. And then all of a sudden it will change into the celestial as to the saints of God being the head of the nation eternally and forever. For while it's in this era, it's in this period of time, then God has turned everything over to the Son, as to the Spirit, to the flesh. And he will reign until he has conquered everything and death is put under his feet. And that is the last enemy to be conquered, which is at the end of the millennium. And then when the Son has reigned unto this, then everything will be turned from the body back over to the Spirit. And the Spirit will be in full regime. And the Bible said, then the Son himself shall be subject to the Father. And the Father, which is the eternal Spirit, shall be all in all. For he shall appear at the end of the millennium as the great light from whence all things flee away, even the ocean and the mountains and the heavens, and we look for the new heavens. For the second heaven must be taken away because it's been defiled by Satan. Well, anyway, I'm just saying these few little scattered things because there's so many hundreds and thousands of things that must be said that God has given me that must be said to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. But at least to give a sequence day by day, even to a people that's not hungry, to press on to find a few little people that they might draw that others be blessed, because the others that are not right, their evil mind and their concupiscence of life causes the just to suffer malnutrition as the spiritual feeding. And you kill out things as to the atmosphere so that God can't feed the few little hungry ones. But anyway, saying this, then we see as to the woman of Revelation 12 and the woman nation as to her feet on the moon, the prince being magnified, the nest among the stars as to Apollyon of that of the bottomless pit and cast down to hell, as to that thing we spoke of, the school teacher, and fallen into the pit of the sea. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, to me these things are foolishness. That is true. That is true. Because the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind, and he cannot know them. For God said that Satan, even the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good comes. Or that is as to the enlightenment to comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length of this great wonderful light, the breaking forth of the dawning of the day star within your heart. See, they cannot get that. They cannot see when good comes. They cannot understand it. It's foolishness. But God, the Bible said, has chosen the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the mighty, and that which is naught, as to the human concept, to bring to naught that which is, you know, as to them great and mighty. So we then understand that these invisible things from the creation of the world are understood by the things which do appear, and that the end of the world is here. And I say again, as to understanding the end of the world, here comes the light, most precious, of the city of that wonderful jeweled city. And with that light, darkness is dispelled. Because you are creatures of darkness. And you are children of the devil. And you are in power and preeminence in your law and your government and your corruption. And your force as trying to devastate the church and God's people. And you are children of darkness, of intellectual reasoning from the old tree of knowledge. And you are possessed of the devil. And there's no good thing within you. See, and the world is within you, and you are in total eclipse as to the intellectual reasoning as unto death, living in trespasses and sin, dead while you live. So then that is your world, and it is a world of darkness. And the only light you have, as to those creatures of the bottomless pit, you have climbed up into the upper lintel as to the religious place, as pressing over the children of God, putting them in bondage as you did as to Satan, Adam, pressing over that wonderful thing as to the image departing momentarily. And in that, all you have is a reflection, even as to the healing medicines. See, and you're on the verge of losing this light because as in Revelation 4, and the door open in heaven, and out goes John, that has to do with the church. And in the tribulation period, as the whole darkness, as those creatures coming out of the bottomless pit in gross darkness, covering the people, as this rise up of the black man right now. So then, God working all things after the counsel of his own will, everything coming right down the line is the way we're seeing it. And many hundreds and thousands of things taking place, even multiplied things right here at little Bethlehem. So unreal as to the multiplied things that are happening just like a top spinning continually, continually, continually. And I'm thankful that we're privileged to see them. Thankful to God because it's by his merits. If the gross darkness is rising to take over, then we know that the devils, the demons of the bottomless pit, and them that dwell in darkness, it is now coming out because all natural things represent spiritual things. And those devils and demons, they have entered into human bodies through this era of grace to get out of the dark places. All of a sudden, they've taken the mass of humanity, white, black, red, yellow, all together, and they're bumping their heads together, and they're tearing each other apart. And God has withdrawn to the extent that that light is pulling his people into that safe place, like in the vision where we had them on the right side of the fence, where that they could not get to them, and on the mantle when the bear went wild. So it's very evident then that the end of the world is here. As to walk around through Home Depot, see all these things to fit them together, the fine automobiles, everything's coming to perfection. The hour of perfection. That is, perfection is now being revealed because perfection is of God. And anything that's perfect, it only means that God within you, as to the perfection, is brought as to the perfect spirit of Christ to be revealed as Christ within your mortal genes until you're swallowed up and you see the vanity of it. When women paint their lips and they roll their hair and they perfume themselves up like roses in the rain to where they smell like honey or smell like roses and taste like honey. And you think you can just eat them up, and people are just, as the Bible said, God sending them strong delusions. They are dishonoring their bodies between each other and actually eating one another up. They're actually eating one another up. And the man is pouncing around with his bubbled muscles and with his face that he's put so much lotion on that he's like a woman. And, you know, if you stuck a pin, it would be almost like a balloon exploding. And like the woman said out in Hollywood, when I heard that little announcement over the radio and the preacher says, as she said, I'm a woman with my name in lights. I've got money. She said, I've got position. Plenty of men following after me. Ain't worth a dime, a dozen, the way that she put it. And said, I am a woman and I'm looking for a husband and I want a real man that's willing to work, that'll go out and get a little mud or whatever on his shoes and come and pull his boots off and throw it over in the corner and I can look at him and say he's a man. Said, I'm looking for a husband. Now, so see this phony vanity world, this movie star pretty boy sort of a thing that's always got their mind on their faces. And sad to say, we got problems here with people like that at Bethlehem. And women the same way. Like a woman come up to my wife the other day. She said, I know you. I saw you. Said, I know. Said, ain't your name such and such? Betty said, yes. She said, I saw you in a book. Said, I saw you. Said, Sister Betty, I saw you. You was down somewhere in a foreign country and you was
over a tub like this, scrubbing away on some clothes. You know,
people that was real people, women that were first ladies, that were frontier women, that loved their little homes and loved their little children, and wasn't full of the devil of lust trying to satisfy their filthy passions. And I say filthy because they've dipped them in the muck so much. You know, and wasn't trying to run around with some silly little thing trying to look like a dainty person, you know. And I better not say that. Somebody just say hallelujah. Anyway, sad that we got them here at Bethlehem, ain't it? But this is the problem that we have. See, and I could go on and go on because, as I said, if the hunger and the thirst had been there, then there's many multiplied things as to the present day happening, as to the intricate and the innermost that I would like to have let the Spirit speak tonight. But anyway, we're going to stop right there. This is just enough to make you know that I have seen the newspaper. Let's everybody stand together. Many things to say, but Jesus said you cannot bear them. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that these things might be made known to you. I want you to know that I appreciate you, every one of you, men and women. I even appreciate those women that spend all their time down in the fellowship room nursing their babies as an excuse of not sitting here listening to the gospel and not enough patience to stay in here. They congregate down there, and they do the same thing up here in the little rooms as to the nurse rooms that we did this, put these things here to make a convenience, but they are so hypocritical that they run down there with a regularity. God help our ushers here to wake up and get a little reasoning and go down there and flush them out. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing I Love Him. I love him. And by the way, some of the daddies is just as bad. They always got to go out to spank the kid and play nursemaid to the kid out there somewhere as an excuse to get outside. He first loved me. It's no wonder you're not spiritual. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. The Lord is good to us, and he's always blessing us. Now, we're not going to hold you for a few minutes because I don't feel you spiritually at all tonight. But we are going to worship the Lord for just a few minutes to at least try to do something to help keep you alive till Jesus gets you. Let's sing this song together. All the things that I have and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Remember that now. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, oh Lord. Can you sing that with me? Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, remind me, oh Lord, what could I have ever done to deserve God's own Son? I'm not worthy of the nails in His hand, but He walked the road to Calvary to die in my stead. So remind me, oh Lord, sing it with me now. Roll back the curtains of memories now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, let's sing the chorus again. Somebody said, we already sang that, so you didn't know that I knew that, did you? Roll back the curtains of memories now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, humans forget. So remind me, oh Lord, who am I that someone should bleed and die for? Who am I that a king should weep and cry for? The answer I may never know. The reason why He loved me so. To an old rugged cross to go, who am I? I remember in His word, I'll leave you never. But I give to You my love, my friend, forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. Who am I? And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have. Stop and you sing that with me. Your hand up her head, there's the mountain top. When we stand upon the hill, we'll be so glad that we tried. And together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little, the altars are open. Although the road seems rough.
rough and long, but together we can stand. And I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. For I'm working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, being the weak and the blind. Want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above, to make it easy for someone behind. For we're working the roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. We're going to smooth out the roads that leads to heaven up above, and make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven, it's straight and also narrow. The gate around us, trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares that can offer, my prayers to make it easy for those. Sing that with me. I keep working the road to glory. Working, are you working the road to glory? Being the walls because they had a mind to work. Going to smooth out the roads that leads to heaven up above, gonna make it easy for them.
Once again.
So we're working the roads to glory. Those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Gone to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above, and make it easy for those behind. Fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, my Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Can you sing one more time? So fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, my Lord. Come and quench. Can you lift up your hands to the Lord? Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. Oh, I lifted up my Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Sing that, women. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight as we sing together now. And I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. The Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory. people for his blood that's washed away every stain.
One more time together.
So I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb.
I was telling the boys, some of the brethren over in the evening, about the doors that we have as to what they call the Father's house, having to do also with David Paul's in his place. Wish we could have made mention of it tonight and many other things, but something is really happening, folks. Really happening. And I know you're trying, and I really appreciate your efforts. I really do. In the last few weeks, we've tried to kind of meet the turnover as to some things we had to do. I don't know, maybe $160,000, $70,000, maybe $200,000, I don't know, that we've had to pay bills in the last few weeks. And still, we still got about, I was telling Betty tonight, about $20,000 that needs to be paid. It's due about now. And then when that, there's still thousands of dollars outside of that that's falling due already of regular bills that, as to the turnover that has to be paid. And some of this, I think, is to all about, well, anyway, I think with the crusade and whereas we got tremendous thing as to the crusade. They stayed within their limits of a few thousand dollars that we gave them. And then it's about 20, 30, $40,000 or something or more that's got to be paid at the bank. But anyway, there was... Rick was telling me that the radio, there's over 200 advertisements that's being in a spot announcement, maybe 230 or something. And with TV, there is, Joseph said over 300. I thought Rick said over 400 spots on TV of seven of the most powerful TVs. And several of those satellites will be going into California and Japan and all around, even coming over here where we're at. And then as to things like program TV, where it's constantly coming on, half a page ad in the paper, brochures, whatever, put up everywhere, and then all kind of advertisement outside of that. But you that are not going, you know, you pray. Because it is a hard, hard, hard place in Hawaii. As to go to Hawaii, I would really like to go to Hawaii if there was nothing there but Hawaii. And I could go see the beautiful trees, the palm trees, and the beaches, and the lovely terrain. It is so beautiful. And there are wonderful people there that are natives of the island. But since it is a vacation spot, it goes back to a typical thing as to the catching away of the church and being caught up. That's why so few are going to be able to make the trip at the time of the devastating and all these other things that's happening. And of course, what we would have said about the door. But as to vacation, I go over, and it's not a vacation to me, it's a nightmare. Because of the way that the people dress. And there's no, you know, it's the land of beast. But what can you say? The whole world is. This whole world is a land of beast. And people are living it up because they're a beast. And they vacation and they go to the islands and they take everything away from the children of God. That's what happened is to the fall. It was taken away from Adam and Eve. And it is beast. The grounds are covered with the beast.
And we just have to kind of stay hid, come out from among them, be a separate people, die out to our human desires, that God might kill the parasites, and that the winter time might come and take the sap down to where they'll come back later, for the Bible said the trees of God are full of sap as to life. And Jesus said, if they do this in a green tree as to himself, what will they do to the dry as to the tree of life? Because the dry as to that that forerun it to be cut down by John was the old tree of knowledge. The generation of vipers. The family tree now is putting forth its fruit as to the green tree because of the resurrection. But we're going over there, the Lord will. And we're trying to do what little we can. So you pray. If you want to help on the home front, now is a great, grand, glorious time and opportunity for you to do it. And if you don't want to, it's all right. The Bible said, let whosoever will help. Let whosoever will come and do something if they want to. If they don't, we don't desire. We've coveted no man's silver or gold. God has abundantly met our needs and will always abundantly meet our needs, giving us the desires of our heart, and not only that, but our cup runs over. But for your sake, as it was with the widow that gave, it was a matter of her staying alive, not Elijah. Elijah didn't even go by the way of the grave when he took a notion to leave the scene of action. So it wasn't a matter of keeping him alive. But as to them that need help, that are willing to share and share alike of your time, of your spirit, of your efforts, of your substance. Not just coming to church, but I mean belonging to Bethlehem and being a part of Bethlehem. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I come to church. I am a part of Bethlehem. You know better than that. Coming to church don't make you a part of Bethlehem. Being acquainted with the people here don't make you a part of Bethlehem. Coming and fellowshipping don't make you a part of Bethlehem. Just being among the ladies don't make you a part of Bethlehem, nor being among the men. That has nothing to do with it. It's the people that have dug this out with their strength and built back the walls and shared with their substance and made sacrifice with their substance and given their mind and their time. Bethlehem belongs to them, and so does God belong to them, and so does all things belong to them, and so do they belong to God, and so are all things. All of them are of God. So you are among us. As they came out of Egypt, it was said, they are among you, but they're not of you. And so then, there are many that are among us, but they're not of us. And Isaac, as to Christ, the Word, shall the seed be called. And the Bible said to love in deed, not in word. So your world is just a world of vanity. You're cut off. And you're just filled with foolishness and religious activity that means exactly nothing. And just the cattle that's mudding up the water with a fuddled up mind to keep the sheep from drinking. But anyway, we're preaching the gospel to every creature. And the rain is on the just and the unjust. So you are getting the blessings. But it won't be long. It'll be stopped. It'll all be over. So while you've got your hands up, I just thought I'd drop this in because you are daily doing what you want to do as to your life, as to your work, as to your business, as to your family. You're laying nobody on the altar or nothing on the altar for God. And if you are given a position or given something to do, you don't fulfill it and you don't care about it and you don't keep it up. And the Bible said it's required of a steward to be faithful. So then that means that you really don't have anything. You're just in the rain and water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. But it won't be long. There'll be an abstract. And you'll find your squatter. And you'll be driven off of God's very world. And he'll turn you into ashes, that the wicked be turned into ashes, that the righteous might walk upon their ashes. Burning and purging all things with fire. So examine yourself, see if you're in the faith of the word, as to believe the word, as to your practice, to do the word that you might show your faith, to love in deed and not in word. We're going to sing this little chorus, I Love Him, in closing. We're going to sing that. So I love him. Do I really love him? If I do, I'll keep his commandments. I know that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once together now, once again, I love him. I love him. All because that he first. I'm going to ask Gilbert to come up and close the service tonight. Is Brother Gilbert here? Okay, he must have left. I thought he was still out there. Calvary's. You need to always be careful, folks, because God may call for your service and you may not be around. I love him, and somebody will take your crown. I love him. Do you really love him? Just lift your hands up and let's close the eyes. While they sing this song, search yourself, see if you be in the faith. The latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Gilbert ain't gone. Here he is. Ain't nobody going to get his crown. One more time as Gilbert comes. I love him. I love him. Oh.